this morning, if you want to call it a title, Worry and Stress, What a Mess. It's really true, but I just wanted to have a quick aside. In our Sunday school this morning, I was so deeply touched by the message that Pastor Ted brought in regards to comparing his time as a canine dog man in Vietnam. And he was talking to us about the dog. And he said he got a new assignment with a new dog whose handler had been wounded and shipped back to the States. And this dog just was a gnarly little dog. And so the dog would bark and growl at him and didn't want Ted to be his master. And so he just said he sat there by the dog and sat outside the cage until the dog could get used to him and his smell and whatever. And then finally he just said, took the dog outside. He put him on his chain, and the dog just ran around, on the end of the chain and peeped and pooed and did whatever the dog wanted to. And Ted tried to have the dog obey him, and he said the dog growled at him and barked at him. And here Ted had been feeding him and watering him and reading to him and trying to love him, and the dog just gnarled and gnarled at him. He just didn't want to have control. He didn't want to be controlled. So Ted said that he went over there and he did everything he could with the dog, and he finally said, sit. He gave the dog a command. The dog growled and wouldn't obey him. So he tried a few more things, and the dog wouldn't obey him. So he goes over close to the dog, and the dog bites him. And then he gets down, and he's fighting with the dog, and they're rolling all over the place. And he finally stops, and he says, he pulled on that chain again, and he said, sit. And the dog sat. And Ted said he went over to the dog, and instead of beating the heck out of the dog for all the disobedience, for the growling, for the biting, for the fighting, for the attack against the very one who's doing all the provision, what Ted did after all the bad stuff that dog did, Ted said he knelt down by the dog and put his arm around the dog and said, good dog, good dog. And I just thought how many times I've been that dog, just peeping and pooing, doing what I want to do, gnarling again, and biting with God, barking and carrying on, biting people and myself. And God so often doesn't kick me. He just puts his arm around me, and he says, good dog, good dog. Now, we're not dogs. I'm not intimating that. I think you understand. The whole picture was there. It was very, very powerful. And from that minute on, that dog could trust Ted. Now, we have to understand that we have to trust God. He's not telling us to sit just to be in control and be powerful. He has a route for us. He has a plan for us. And he knows when to tell us to sit and when to stand and when to attack or whatever. All the things that Ted had to do. The whole idea behind that dog was it was used to protect and help others. Ted and the dog and the other canine people, they would go around the base. I was over there. I was grateful. I could sleep at night knowing that the guys were going around the base. My parents were extremely worried because I was there in Vietnam at the same time my brother was. And my brother wrote back to my mom and said, don't worry about it, Mom. We have a circle of the Marines, and we have a circle of the Army around the base. We have a circle of the women and children, and then there's the Air Force Base. But anyways, besides that, we were well protected. But the dog, their job was to protect. So all that training was for good. All your training, all your hardship, all your stuff is for good. So when we talk about worry and stress today, we're talking about something very important. We're like that dog. We're coming against God. And we don't realize that. And I want to bring that point up to us. Are you ever afraid to believe God and what he said? That's my question to us today. It really is a faith thing. It's a believing. I either put my trust in you as the one who knows what to do, or I start going, oh no, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? We worry and stress out over finances, over relationships, over jobs, over people, what they think. I mean, there's all these things. I mean, you can stress out over what kind of clothes you want to wear. Where is God in our lives when we do that thing? And someone once said that faith, and I love this, means believing in advance would only make sense in reverse. I remember when the Lord told me to get out of some of my career fields that I was in. Well, at the time, it really looked kind of stupid. I remember saying, did you lose the file up there? What's going on? This is how I make my money. This is the career field I'm trained in. But God had me to move over and do something else. So as I sit here 40 years later, and I look back and I go, oh, gee, that makes sense now. All the things you had me to do that didn't make sense then make sense now, because I couldn't do what I do now unless I did what you had me do back then. It's just really so powerful. So, but two things keep coming up that interfere with that smooth relationship with God. And those two things are the worry and the stress. And every one of us, and if you deny it, you're lying. Every one of us have worry and stress that we have to put away. We might not live in it as much as we used to, but we have to put it away. And last Wednesday night, we were sharing on complaining. And we said, you want some cheese with that wine, W-H-I-N-E. And we do have some problems. We whine, we complain. But we talked last Wednesday about the reason we whine and complain, we're stressed and worried. So we have to understand what God is saying. And I don't want it to discourage us, because sometimes we hear about the things, we read about the things, what God expects us to do. I'm standing here saying God says to put away your anxiety and your worry and your stress. And you're going, you got to be kidding me. You have no idea what's going on in my life. You call this no stress? I have no money and no job and everything is fell through. And you don't want me to be worried?
Hallelujah.
Yeah, you don't want me to have any stress? I have no idea what I'm going to do. I'm sleeping on a couch or something like that with a friend. My stuff is stored. I have no idea. Where am I going to go? You just fixed this one thing, but I'm in the middle of nowhere, God. And you want me to not worry, and God says, trust me. Can you trust me? There's no way we're going to learn to trust God unless we're in situations where we have no control, where we can't do anything. He doesn't want to hurt us in those circumstances, but he wants us to understand, I'm so far above what you know and think. I have so much power and control. You just don't let me use it. You keep doing things on your own. You don't let me bless you. I can remember years ago saying, God, well, what's the difference between using a credit card, paying a couple extra bucks for the convenience, or paying cash, wait until I have cash, what's the difference? Because I was so quick to pull out that credit card. Tires, repairs, anything you needed. And his answer to me crushed me. What difference does it make? He said, because when you go back on your own ideas of how to fix it, you actually stop me from giving you good blessings. Whoa. We don't wait long enough. We have worry and stress. We let these things come at us. It eats us up, and the adversary is over there going, this is awesome. You are so backwards. You are so delayed. You can't even hear God because you're in the power of the stress and the worry. Our broken nature doesn't allow us to be perfect. But God wants us to strive towards it. And I'm not going to go over the Sermon on the Mount that was mentioned earlier, but the Sermon on the Mount is chapters 5 through 7. Read it over. I read that and I go, huh, I'm never going to make this. But then I understood something just a little bit differently. God wasn't saying, this is the measure you have to meet before I love you or before you can succeed or anything. It wasn't a measure for us. What it was a picture of the perfection of God, the thing towards which we strive. And I was reading in Grace Notes by Philip Yancey, and he said something very powerful. He said, Jesus didn't proclaim the Sermon on the Mount so that we would scrunch up and furrow our brow. I had a scrunch up. He didn't say that. Would furrow our brows in despair over our failure to achieve perfection. He gave it to impart to us God's ideal toward which we should never stop striving. But it also shows us that none of us will ever reach that ideal here. The Sermon on the Mount, and the whole thing was, it forces us to recognize the great distance between God and us. I can't, God, I fail so often. But it shows we have nowhere to go, nowhere to land, but in the safety net of absolute grace. I said, thank you, Lord. So now, as we talk a little bit about worry and stress, don't worry and stress out that you worry and stress out. So I'm not talking about worry and stress and saying, oh, another stick to beat yourself with because I worried and stressed a bit this week. God is saying, I understand. Just like Ted, he's like a dog whisperer, like an animal whisperer, everything. I think spiders like him. I mean, I don't know. He does everything with every kind of animal. He can calm the animal down. He has a presence, a gift God has given him with the animals. And just like that, God has that power over us. Get in his presence. That is where you're going to get your peace. Not the situation. Everyone says, well, when this gets all fixed, I'll feel good. No. If we let our circumstances be what directs our joy and our comfort, our security and our peace, we're going to be really messed up. Because I don't know about you, but this world is changing faster than I have ever seen it. And you're going to get over one stress, I guarantee you're going to have another. You get over one worry, I guarantee you're going to have another. So if you're practicing stress and worry, it's going to stay with you a long time. God says, I want to break that cycle. He wants to lead us beyond that. Now, worry and anxiety, and I hate to tell you this, but that means that you don't think God's big enough to take care of it. I hated to hear that. No. I'm just a little stressed out here, man. I got a lot of problems, stuff like that. I'm just bringing them to you, Lord. And it's like he says, no. That inner dis-ease that's in you is because you really don't think I can fix this. You really don't think I can pay for that. You really don't think I can do that. At a certain point in owning my house, like 20 years ago, I've been paying on it like 10 years or something like that, and it needed some repairs. Like, how can I pay for it and repair it at the same time? I can't do this. I don't have enough income, God. Don't you see this? So I said, well, okay, I just got to leave that alone. I had to practice leaving it alone. God turned around and redid my whole house. One of my former students comes up with this massive project and came up with the funds and came up with the coordination and all that. It's like, my head was spinning. I go, wait a minute. Wow. How could I ever... If I died with my house crumbling around me, so what? But I did want to be diligent in the gifts and the things that God gave me, but he took care of it. But he did it his way. And it wasn't exactly when I asked. It was years later, but he did it. He did it. And that's what he wants us to know. I really wasn't thinking God was big enough to take care of things. I've had a lot of financial challenges, so to speak, and God allows those things because I wasn't trusting him. So he'd take away a little more, and I still wasn't trusting him. He'd take away a little more, I still wasn't trusting him. He'd take away a little more, and somebody said, hey, what's going on here? At one point, I was living in a tent in the back of pasture's yard. I go, okay, I give up. I surrender all. Well, sometimes people as stubborn and prideful as myself, everything has to be stripped away. God, I can't do this. It's all I wanted you to do. Just wanted to get to that point. You can't do this, honey. I never expected you to. You're born handicapped because of what Adam did. I'm trying to release you by what Jesus did. Just come to me. So that worry, because we're not really trusting God, and the stress. We become so involved in the details. I got to fix this. I got to do that. I got to do that. I got to coordinate that. I got to control that. That's where the stress comes. I got to do. I got to do. I got to do. We don't know how to say no to certain things. We don't know how to get out from underneath that pressure. And we don't like to hear that. We don't like to hear that we don't know how to do something. At least I don't. I know. Yes, I know. I'll figure it out. I always tested high for mechanical. I don't know why. I can figure it out. If something's broken, I like to kind of take it. I like to kind of look at it. You know, what needs to be done. No, I can't. I don't have all sorts of intimate technical knowledge. But I just like to... I'm a fixer. Now, that can be a curse. Because you're always trying to fix things. You can't fix what's broken here. You might fix a lawnmower, but you're never going to fix people. and every one of us are broken. So we need to do with one another what God has done with us. And after we peep and poop and fight and bite and snarl and everything, it's like Ted did with the dog. Good dog. You obeyed in that one thing. 60 things it didn't, but obeyed once. Good dog. And that got a bond between Ted and the dog. When you obey God, that's a bond. That's one more thing that I always say, prayer, praise, obedience. It's like you're attached to the leg of God, but you're holding on with your own. And every prayer and every praise and every obedience is like a little cord that wraps you around his leg. So you're going to eventually, without even thinking of it, you're going to go where he goes because you're attached to him. It's so, so powerful. So when we worry and stress and we're saying it's not okay to trust God, we're hoping it's going to work out, etc. What a rat race. I don't know about you, but it's like a dog chasing his tail going round and round. Worry and stress reek of arrogance before God. They holler out that somehow you're smarter than God, you're more powerful than God. That may not be what you're intending to say, but that is what's coming forth. What about God? What about his power? What about his plan? You say, well, yeah, but I'm really dealing with some things. I've got a lot of problems, etc. here. Don't let worry and stress rear its ugly head. Now, some people in here today, things are pretty okay. They're settled. You've got money coming in. You've got a pretty standard amount. You kind of understand what things are. And you're okay in terms of the physical things of the world. Well, then work on the spiritual things. Some are not. We have some in here very tenuous. Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? Don't let worry and stress overcome that situation. There was a period of time when some didn't have a job. They were in between things. You could have been dying 1,000 deaths, but now that's settled down. So just look back at your own track record. There were times when it didn't work out, when it wasn't working out, but God smoothed it. So no matter how many times it happens, just keep going back to the Lord. And there are some things you can do, and that's in your handouts there. I had a handout here, but everything ended up in the bulletin today. There's some things you can do, and just real quickly. You can go ahead and reconcile some relationships. If there's broken relationships going on, especially in the marriage partnership and within family structures and your work structures, that can sap your ability to cope and to do things. The adversary will use that so that it'll heighten your worry and your anxiety. You can rest. Hello, I need this tattooed on my head. Set some time aside each day for some quietness and some rest. We don't rest enough. And we have a world that's going 24/7 and it's going 100 miles an hour. That will suck up every ability to get out of that worry and stress. Set boundaries. Learn to say, I'm sorry, but I can't. I won't be able to right now. I only now am trying to be able to learn that. But it's not me choosing what I can do or not. God, please show me what I can do and where I can help. Choose to get enough sleep. These sound like kind of funny ideas. What are we talking about? Sleep and rest is God's idea, not ours. Do the right thing, not the most things. Whoa. And I wanted to say something. You need to set priorities. The other day I was going to change my running schedule. I use the term running loosely. It's lumbering and walking at this point. To accommodate a meeting with Shirley. I was going to try. She called one day we get together. I said, well, you know, I was going to walk, but I can change that. And she said, all she said to me was, don't do that. Don't change that. That's what you need to do. So I want to personally thank you for that reminder, Shirley. We need to do what is right. And so many times we stop. You don't have rest. You're taking care of the kids. You're taking care of your husband or your wife. You're doing your neighbor. You're doing this. You're doing that. You don't take the right time. And guess what? It's a trick. And it works every time with us. We will get distracted doing all the physical, helpful things. Probably the worst enemy against the Christian is all the work that needs to be done. And you end up doing everything for everybody else except spending that time with the most important entity in your life, and that's the living God. The only one who can take away the stress and the worry. The only one who can give guidance and help. The only one who can have you clean.
the only rescue in our lives. And we do everything. Oh, I'll get with you in a minute. I'll get to my Bible in a minute. I need to do this first. I need to do that next. I need to do this. And it'll be 12:30 at night, and you have not spent 1 minute telling God how good He is. You've not spent 1 minute reading the Scripture. You have not prayed. You have not praised. And it goes on day after day after day. Now, I'm not talking, do not back up and become legal. Oh, between this hour and that hour, I have to do this. I'm not saying be legalistic. God will lead you. But if you don't have a structure, and you don't start doing some of the things that God is saying, pay attention to your physical health. I want to remain healthy for God. There's so much work. I want to be able to walk and to bend and stretch and move and build. I want to be able to do that, even though I'm facing 70 years old, not my next birthday. God has given me energy and strength. I want to maintain it, but I can't if I eat junk and I'm doing the wrong things and let stress and worry build up. Schedule free time for yourself is another thing, and live within your means. Hello? Oh my gosh. Maybe the government could do that, but hey, whatever. Live within your means. The stresses about finances are killing us. Now, those are all good things. They're all sound. They're all scriptural, but they're physical things. Those are good. Work on them. But we also need to look at what God says the cure for stress is. Look in Philippians verse 4. You have these, some of them are written out for you. Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Be anxious for nothing. That is so big. Underline it. This takes practice. You can't just say, okay, be anxious for nothing. There you go. We're fine. You get some kids sick and their temperature goes up to 105. I guarantee there's going to be a little worry and stress that comes. Where are you going to go to? Where are you going to run to? I'm not saying not to deal with the physical, but you better be going to God first. That worry and stress and anxiety will have you making incorrect decisions. Things that will put you backwards and not forwards. Be anxious for nothing. He doesn't just leave the period there. He tells you how to do it. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And what happens? What happens when you do that? And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and where else? Your mind in Christ Jesus. That adversary, he puts a stupid idea. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. What about this? What about that? He is going to add to your worry. God tells us what the cure for stress is. Psalm 4:8. It says, in peace I will both lie down and sleep. For thou alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. This isn't just cute things you learn in Sunday school to repeat. These are promises of a covenant-making God. Romans 8:6. Another warning, for the mind set on the flesh is death. What am I going to do? How's it going to work out? It's set on the physical. But the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. And in Psalm 29:11, the Lord will give strength to His people, and the Lord will bless His people with peace. I want to take that. I want to have that as mine. That is what God is giving us, not the worry and the stress and the details. Isaiah 26:3, the steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace, because that person trusts in God. So the cure for stress is give thanks in everything. Believe that God's your safety. Set your mind on the Spirit of God. Believe that God will bless you with peace. And trust in the Lord that He's going to keep you in that peace. And the cure for worry? In Matthew, the 6th chapter, it is so powerful, starting with verse 25. This is everything. For this reason I say, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat, what you shall drink. It doesn't say you don't eat and drink, it says don't be worrying about it. Nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. We've all heard this 100 times. They don't sow or reap or do anything physical. They don't gather into barns, and yet what? Your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than a bunch of birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to your lifespan? Is worry going to add one more day, one more week, anything to you? No. And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They don't toil or spin, and yet Solomon, all of his glory, wasn't even clothed like one of those. It is absolutely gorgeous when you look at some of these things that we have on our worship songs, the background pictures and things. It shows the glory and the wonder of God.
But of God, so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today, and boom, tomorrow is thrown into the furnace. How much more will he do for you, O men of little faith? Don't be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat or drink? With what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles, those that don't know God, eagerly seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, don't be anxious for tomorrow. Tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. All of us have heard that. We know that. But that's the cure for the worry. We already talk what is going to be stress and the worry. And the last couple here, 1 Peter 5, 6 to 7. Big one. Surrender. Hello. What does he say to do? Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you. At when? The proper time. Casting all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. Good dog. Good dog. So the cure for worry is seek his kingdom first, and all the things you need are going to be added to you. It just isn't at your time frame. I want this now. I want this fixed now. I want this taken care of. Well, you're not God. God is. He's going to stretch this thing out until you learn. But he's going to take care of you. Well, what if I lose my house? What if I lose my job? What if I lose my health? Didn't he just say that the kingdom of God is so far surpassing all of those things? There's some people who love God with all their heart, and they've lost their health. They're suffering and dying of cancer, and God has not healed them. There's some that love God with all their heart, and they've lost every single financial thing they ever had. You see, so don't misunderstand what God is saying. He's not out to punish you, but trust him that he has a higher and a better plan for what you have. Humble, humble, humble yourself. And then the last comment and thought I had was, wow, maybe we could write a book on how to handle today's worry and stress. And I said, wait, God already did. It's called the Bible. So read it and live it. You won't. Your life isn't going to be worry-free. But when things come your way, if you do what God says, then you're going to know how to handle it. God bless you.